Hair care claims to unsplit our split ends and undo damage. That's big talk for soap and water. But what if there were actually a way to do the impossible? We are Virtue, and when we discovered a human protein called alpha keratin 60KU, everything changed. Finally, we can transform hair from the inside out, not just for certain hair types, but for all of us. With Virtue, discover your best hair humanly possible.
Visit VirtueLabs.com today. That's VirtueLabs.com.
AT&T believes that if you want a smartphone, you should get the best deal on that smartphone, no matter what kind of smartphone person you are. People who reply to texts immediately. Emoji overtexters, emoji haters, custom emoji makers, app personalizers, and alphabetizers. Even those who
blast music off their phone at the gym.
At AT&T, we give new and existing customers our best deals on every smartphone. Save up to $1,000 on our most popular smartphones with eligible trade-in. Offers vary by device. Terms and restrictions apply. See AT&T.com or visit an AT&T store for details.
This NFL podcast is sponsored by the FreeTVProject.org.
Live from Radio Row, it's Super Bowl week, and there's no better way to stay up to speed on the biggest week in football than with the Around the NFL podcast. Join me, Dan Hansis, and my buddies Mark Sessler and Greg Rosenthal for the latest news with just a touch of mirth.
Around the NFL is the place to learn all things football. We've got awards, the number one football podcast in the world, 30-plus years of experience, and Rihanna is playing the Apple Music halftime show, guys. It doesn't get much better than this.
I've never heard Mark say the word Rihanna before. Hang out with us, talking football live from Glendale, Arizona, all week long. Listen to Around the NFL on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories, and we tell stories about everything here on this show, from the arts to sports, and from business to history, and everything in between, including your stories. Send them to OurAmericanStories.com. Our next one is brought to us with permission from the Veterans History Project at the Atlanta History Center. The Veterans History Project provides unedited first-person interviews from men and women who've served our great country. Today we'll be hearing from Oliver Halley, who will share with us a bit about his experiences in the United States Navy during the Vietnam War. We will also be hearing about the unearthed family secret that would forever change his life. Here's Oliver.
I grew up in a small family. My mother and father were only children, so I had no aunts, no uncles, no cousins. And I had two brothers. My older brother, who died in 2009, he was 2 years older, and my younger brother, who's almost 2 years younger than I am. He still lives in New York. My father and his family emigrated from Nazi Germany in 1935 or so. And my mother was born in Brooklyn, but her father was born and raised in Germany and came here as a young man. And my mother's mother was born in Brooklyn as well. And we moved to Brooklyn when I was a baby, so I have no memory of where I was born whatsoever. My first memories begin in Brooklyn, and then we moved to Staten Island when I was seven, and that's where I grew up, too. My father and mother built a legend around our family. Again, I knew that my father and his family had moved emigrated from Nazi Germany, but they built a legend around that. And the legend had to do with that his father, my grandfather, who I didn't know, he was killed in a car accident in 1939. I did know that. And he was a prominent surgeon in New York. And the legend was that they resisted the Third Reich. My father was in an underground movement, and it was all very romantic. And that was the story that I grew up with. But when I was growing up, everybody went in the military. That was just the way it was. A lot of people don't know that the draft began in June of 1940. And it didn't end until, I think, roughly 1975. So even during the peacetime between the Korean War and Vietnam, people were being drafted. In my high school, you know, people either volunteered or went into the military, and it was acceptable. Nobody even thought about avoiding it. If they didn't want to join, They were drafted and they didn't complain. That's just the way it was. And I grew up in that environment, that post-World War II. You see a lot of veterans from World War II during parades. It was always a big deal. And it's just what you did. That it was your turn to step up when it came time. So there was never any doubt in my mind I would go into service. And growing up in New York and seeing the ships in New York Harbor, and I was attracted to the Navy. There was never any doubt that's where I wanted to go. So my friend Kenny, I don't remember where, but somewhere he heard about swift boats, and I said, "What's a swift boat?" And he described it as best he could, and I said, "I'm going to volunteer for that." I said, "Well, you know what? I'll volunteer with you." I know we arrived in Vietnam on September 27th, 1969. And when we got off the plane, you see all these sandbags, and we landed in Cam Ranh Bay. Cam Ranh Bay was one of the swift boat bases, and it was the headquarters for Coastal Squadron 1. And then from there, we were going to be farmed out to one of five coastal divisions. And I remember seeing the sandbags and seeing, you know, you say, wow, we were definitely in a war zone when you saw that, and you saw everybody in fatigues, and you had Army there, and Navy, and Air Force, and you say, whoa, now this is the real deal. So that was my impression. So on Christmas Eve day, December the 24th, I think it was a C-130, flew us down to Catlow, and the boats were already there. And we were happy. So we get there, and I remember we were sleeping that night in Catlow in some barracks. And I remember the next morning, I guess it was before the Christmas truce went into effect, but it was my first introduction to a B-52 bombing somewhere in the area. I don't know exactly where, but I mean, it was incredible. I couldn't believe how the ground would shake, and you know, and it's like, whoa. I mean, I hadn't experienced that in Da Nang. In Da Nang, we worked in Da Nang. Marines operated out of I Corps where we were. That's it. And we did work some with the U.S. Marines up in I Corps along the Kuodai River. This particular day, again, I don't remember why, but we were transporting Korean Marines, these rocks, to Hoi An. I don't remember, why. All I know is somebody, we were given an order, pick these rocks up, take them to Hoi An, a few miles up the river. So there was a sergeant and probably, maybe 10 or 12 of these Korean Marines. And we had on board, we had searched a couple of sampans in the river. And I remember that we took several women prisoners because they didn't have paperwork and they may have had some contraband, no weapons, but they may have had contraband. I don't remember why, and it's not particularly important. All I remember is we took them on board and handcuffed them because they had done something and we were going to turn them over to Navy intelligence in Hoi An. So we had these Korean Marines on board too, and these were young Vietnamese women. And I was in the pilot house that's where I normally stayed. When we were moving, I'm in the pilot house.
And you've been listening to Oliver Halley recount his early days right up to his enlistment and volunteer enlistment in the Vietnam War. He volunteered for swift boat duty in September of 1969, and everything changed. We'll hear more of Oliver's story here on Our American Stories. Lee Habib here, the host of Our American Stories. Every day on this show, we're bringing inspiring stories from across this great country. Stories from our big cities and small towns. But we truly can't do this show without you. Our stories are free to listen to, but they're not free to make. If you love what you hear, go to OurAmericanStories.com and click the donate button. Give a little, give a lot. Go to OurAmericanStories.com and give.
Sean Brace here from your favorite new podcast, Brace for Winnings. It's where we talk all things wagering on the NFL. New episodes will be available every Thursday to get you ready for the primetime action and all the big games going down over the NFL weekend. We will cook up same-game parlay strategies, cover all the money-making matchups, and look to find what we all want when we place a bet, winning wagers. At the end of every episode, I will make you a better bettor on the NFL so your witching hour wagers turn from red to green. Teasers, totals, awards, props, and locks, Brace for Winnings is a one-stop pod for anyone who enjoys action on the NFL. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is where I go when I place a bet. Be sure to head over to DraftKings Sportsbook and use my code WINNINGS for a special sign-up offer today. Listen to Brace for Winnings, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A major regret could soon hit millions of Americans. It could hit without warning. It could devastate your net worth. It could wipe away years of hard work and savings in the blink of an eye. What could it be? It's not properly diversifying your money and investments. With the economic challenges you're facing today, with inflation, war, and the possibility of a recession, your retirement savings could be at risk. That's why it's critical to get your hands on this free, information-packed wealth protection kit today. There's no cost or strings attached. We'll send this free kit to your doorstep or inbox free of charge. All you have to do is call 855-933-5252 today. Learn how you could protect your hard-earned money from the ongoing economic and political chaos that's plaguing our nation. The writing is on the wall, but it's up to you to take action. So call 855-933-5252 today. Once again, that's 855-933-5252.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
And we continue with Our American Stories and Oliver Halley's story. Let's return where we last left off.
So, I'm up in Palos. One of my, crew members came up to me and said, "Mr. Halley," he said, "we got a problem." He said, these Korean Marines, they want to rape these women. I said, "Well, what?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "They're eyeing them over and they're pointing and they're making motions and all this." I said, "Whoa!" So I went back aft and I went up to the sergeant. He was the senior petty officer, not petty officer, senior ranking guy, enlisted guy. There was no officer. And I'm trying to speak to him in English. I say, I'm pointing to say, "You, women, you no touch, no touch," you know. And no touch, no touch. And the other guys, the other enlistment, I can see they're getting angry now. They're getting angry. And the sergeant is trying to, even though he didn't speak English, he understood what I was trying to say. Now he's getting confrontational. So I told my crew members, I said, "Put the weapons on them. Put them on them." And It was tense. It was very tense. They were determined they were going to have their way, and I was determined they weren't. And we made it to Hoi An. And I told the sergeant, I said, you touch women. I said, "You're a captain. He cock it out of you. Kakadai, your captain. He Kakadai kept saying that, you know, Kakadai you. And so anyway, we got to Hoi An, and as soon as we got there, I reported the sergeant and his troops to, you know, our intelligence people, and they, you know, reported wherever it went. I have no idea what happened after that, but fortunately these women, you know, were not assaulted. It would have been impossible to let that have happened. It's just some things you just can't do. You know, I mean, that's not our American values. It really isn't. I mean, even at that age, I understood that much. That's not who we are as Americans. We don't do that. And now to segue into something a little bit amusing, I'm back down again in Coastal Division 11. You know, down there in the Gulf of Thailand and the Pacific Ocean area. And my Commodore, Lieutenant Commander Bill Martin, he called me in. I was out wherever I was. He called me into headquarters immediately. So I go back. I had no idea what was going on. And he says, he hands me a teletype. And I read this teletype. My heart sank. And it, as best I recall, I wish I had a copy of it. It said something like this: from Commander-in-Chief Pacific to, you know, Commander Coastal Squadron 1, Coastal Division 11, boom, boom, subject, of presidential interest. I remember those words, of presidential interest. And I'm paraphrasing here, and it goes on to say as follows. Ruth Halley Gorman, the mother of Lieutenant J.G. Oliver G. Halley, Staten Island, New York, has written to the President of the United States, Richard M. Nixon, that her son is not getting his mail, and the President has ordered an immediate inquiry to determine why he isn't getting his mail. And I was floored, because I had never complained to my mother I wasn't getting my mail. That didn't happen. I never said a word that I wasn't getting my mail. Nothing. I was getting my mail. It wasn't a problem. So I'm speechless and embarrassed. I mean, this thing went out to the entire 7th Fleet, this communication of presidential interest. So the Commodore was very sympathetic, and he said, well, we have to respond to this immediately. What do you suggest? I said, well, Commodore, I'm getting my mail. I mean, I don't know where my mother's coming from. I mean, I can't pick up a phone to call her and ask her what's going on. So I remember we responded that I had been in transit and had been moving around, and apparently the mail hadn't kept up, but there was no problem. Be assured that there is no problem. Everything's fine, and it's okay. So when I got home, I have a copy somewhere in a box, I know that, of a letter from a general in the Pentagon. How that works, you know, since I'm in the Navy, but who knows? But anyway, I remember it was a general in the Pentagon who had written my mother that on behalf of the president or something like that, they were looking into why I wasn't getting my mail. Like I say, it was a very embarrassing thing to me, but and I asked my mother when I got home almost a year later, I said, why did you do that? I said, I was getting my mail. Why did you do that? And all I remember her saying is, you weren't getting your mail. Okay. So I do have, something that is very critical to who I am. And back in the 1930s, my maternal grandparents had a correspondence with a woman in Australia named Esther Buck. Esther Buck was a teacher in Australia. And she communicated, or wrote letters, I should say. They corresponded only by mail, and we're all of the same, roughly the same age. You remember back then, in the 70s, I'm talking about 60s and 70s, you had that paper, you bought it at the post office, I think they call it fly paper, because it was so light, and you would write a letter, and then you would fold it. Remember that? You would fold it over and put a stamp on it, but it was so light, and you'd send it by airmail, because it was cheaper. Back then, if you remember, there were airmail rates versus first class, whereas today there's no distinction. Okay, so This correspondence, my grandfather, my mother's father, and her mother, they were both educators, as was my mother, in New York. And they had this correspondence. They got through the Parker Pen Company. It was just one of those professional things. And over the years, they got to know each other, only by mail. They had never spoken. So when my grandfather became too sick, my mother picked up the correspondence. So we're talking probably about the late 1940s, early 1950s. So my mother wrote to Esther Buck, and they corresponded, you know, maybe once a month, once every couple months. And I remember Miss Buck, that's what I called her, she would send us little trinkets for Christmas, that kind of thing. But again, they never spoke. All of this was by mail, all these years. So now I'm in Vietnam, and it was arranged that I would meet Miss Buck on R&R. And I was lucky. I got two R&Rs. First one was in June of 1970. I went to Hong Kong, and then the second one, the Commodore was really generous about that, went to Sydney. So my mother arranged by mail for me to meet her. So I was pretty excited, too. This is a big deal. And the way it was going to work is I was going to meet her at her home, and then my mother was going to call while I was there. Now, again, we're all of the same age. These young people have no idea. But when you called internationally back then, you had to call the overseas operator. Remember that? You called, maybe you don't, because if you never made an international call, it wasn't very common. It was expensive. But you called the international operator, and you'd say, I'd like to place this call to Sydney, Australia. And the international operator would tell you that it might be an hour, might be two, might be three, depending on the traffic, before they could get a line. So the plan was, hopefully it would all fall into place. While I was there, my mother would be calling in. The date was September 8th, 1970. And I've written a book, but it pertains to this business I have, this speaking business. And I have a chapter in the book called Life-Changing versus Life-Shaping Experiences. September 8th, 1970, changed my life forever. Forever.
And you're listening to Oliver Halley. And again, we want to thank the Veterans History Project at the Atlanta History Center for this story. And we're going to find out what happened on that day when we come back. More of Oliver Halley's story here on Our American Stories.
The NFL playoff action continues. We're one step closer to Super Bowl 57. And for the NFL divisional round, check out DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code TIMER. New customers can bet $5 on the NFL divisional round and get $200 in free bets instantly. That's promo code TIMER. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. 21 and over in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Void in Ohio and Ontario. Bonus issued as free bets. One boost per eligible game. Opt-in required. 10-plus leg required for 100% boost. Deposit, parlay, and wagering restrictions apply. Eligibility and terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms.
Do you have more than $50,000 or more saved for retirement that you can't afford to lose? We've sent billions to Ukraine, burying us in national debt, while doing nothing to stop inflation and help our own country. Can your retirement survive crippling inflation and growing debt at the same time? If you have $50,000 or more saved for retirement, heed the warnings. Do something to protect yourself now. That's why right now, thousands of Americans are using an IRS loophole to protect their retirement savings with gold and silver. So call 855-512-GOLD to get your free gold IRA kit and see how you could protect your retirement savings while getting up to $10,000 in free silver for doing it. We could be looking at a future worse than 2008. So don't wait. Call GoldCo today. Call 855-512-GOLD. That's 855-512-GOLD. 855-512-GOLD.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing youth-activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
And we continue with Our American Stories and Oliver Halley's story. Let's pick up where we last left off.
September 8th, 1970, changed my life forever. Forever. I don't know why I'm getting emotional, but I think about it. I told you earlier in this interview, in the beginning, that my mother and father were only children. I had no relatives, and on my father's side in particular, a lot of mysteries that I never knew the answers to. My father had committed suicide on May the 9th, 1966. I was in college. I was 20 years old. I was a junior in college at the time. And in that book that I wrote, I put in there that, you know, he just couldn't outrun the demons that had chased him from the Third Reich. And he, as I said earlier, he had built up this legend. He was in this German underground movement, and they got into street fights and all of that. Well, it turned out that's all true. That part is all true. What never made sense to me as I got older was, why would a wealthy family, because my father came from a wealthy family. He was an only child. His father was a very prominent surgeon. And I didn't know until I sent you the story from New York Times. I didn't know until this year, February of this year, that he had actually been a physician for Kaiser Wilhelm and Tsar Nicholas of Russia. I didn't know that until this year from the New York, and Sue has seen the story in the New York Times, 1939, when he was killed in a car accident. So anyway, he had committed suicide 4 years earlier. And I'm sitting with Miss Buck, and she had never married. She was a woman probably in her 70s at the time. And she was so excited to see me. I mean, oh, she was just fluttering here and fluttering there. I'm so excited to finally meet somebody from the Halley family after all these years. This is, oh, so happy. Finally, you know, this is wonderful. And I can't wait for your mother to call, you know. I just so looking forward to that. And then she said as follows. She said, and I don't remember her exact words. I was too stunned, and so I'm close, but these are not the exact words. I just don't remember what they were. I wish I did, but I don't. She said something like this. Did your mother ever reconcile with her father for marrying outside the faith? And I looked at Miss Buck and I said, Miss Buck, I don't understand your question. My mother and father, you know, were Protestants. I don't know what you mean by marrying outside the faith. And she said, no. She said, your mother was Jewish, she married your father. But I said, my mother's not Jewish. She said, of course she is. And she's, my head at that moment exploded. You know how you get shocking news? Whatever it is, really shocking news? That's what happened to me. It was like that. Because I had experienced anti-Semitism growing up. I grew up a Methodist. But I experienced a lot of anti-Semitism. I don't kid anybody, you know, that I don't know. I look Jewish, okay? I mean, there is a stereotype, and I'm one of them. My head exploded. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. So she saw the look on my face, and she stopped short. She says, "Oh, my God, I hope I didn't say anything I shouldn't have said." And I said, "No." I said, "I'm glad you did." But she didn't say another word. Well, my mother called in, and we all had a very nice chat. Didn't bring any of this up. And Miss Buck was so excited to finally talk to my mother. And I left Vietnam, I think, September 23rd. So it was a couple of weeks or so later. And got to San Francisco. And I out-processed from active duty to the reserves. It took, I think, 5 days. I was at Treasure Island, you know, about an hour a day. You did administrative stuff, and then they cut you loose. So at the end of the week, I flew from San Francisco to New York. A friend of mine picked me up, and I went to my mother's house until I could find a place to live a couple weeks later. And I'm unpacking my sea bag, and this has really been weighing on my mind. And as I'm unpacking my sea bag, I said to my mother, "Why didn't you tell us we were Jewish?" And she said, "What? Where did you get that nonsense from?" Those are her words. And I said, "Miss Buck told me." And my mother, very uncharacteristically, she was very polished, very educated, very uncharacteristically, she said, "Miss Buck is a liar." She didn't talk that way. I said, "No." I said, "Miss Buck told the truth." And very uncharacteristically, my mother completely broke down. I mean, really broke down crying. And she said, "Please don't tell your brothers." And I said, "I have to." Well, as the years went by, I would try and talk to my mother about this. She shut it down. She'd act like I wasn't even in the room. If I want to change the subject, she'd look up and talk about it. She wouldn't talk about it. Absolutely refused. So I never learned anything from my mother, nothing. And she and my father had destroyed a lot of documents. So over the years, it would take me too long to tell, and it doesn't fit in with the Vietnam part of the story, so I'll just kind of synopsize it real quickly. I learned a lot on my own through reading books, and then when the internet came into being, learned a little bit. And so the bottom line is this. My grandfather on my father's side was Jewish, for sure, 100%. I have the records to support that. He was Jewish, and my paternal grandmother was a Lutheran. My father was raised a Lutheran. So in the Jewish faith, you know, the bloodline carries on the mother's side, not the father's side. So even though my father was half Jewish, he wouldn't be recognized as Jewish by Jewish people. So that comment about, did your mother ever reconcile with her father? In effect, my mother married outside the faith, even though my father was half Jewish.
And you've been listening to Oliver Halley and what a story he's telling. And this is just a side story, but these side stories, well, they inform so much about all of our lives. September 8th, the day that changed his life forever. And my goodness, why didn't you tell us we were Jewish? What an identity crisis for this young man. Also, he was learning that everything he ever thought was true. Because he always thought he was Jewish. He looked Jewish. "Where did you get that nonsense?" the mom said. And my goodness, she then said, "Miss Buck is a liar." And he knew for sure that it was true. And then the reality set in, and his mom, well, she just broke down. And she just started to cry, revealing her human side, but never came clean. Never told the real story. And by the way, we learn that again and again here on Our American Stories, particularly the World War II generation. So many of them just wouldn't come clean about what happened. Maybe it was so horrible they couldn't process it. Who knows what the reasons are? When we come back, more of Oliver Halley's story. And it's a beauty here on Our American Stories.
The NFL playoff action continues. We're one step closer to Super Bowl 57. And for the NFL divisional round, check out DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code TIMER. New customers can bet $5 on the NFL divisional round and get $200 in free bets instantly. That's promo code TIMER. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. 21 and over in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Void in Ohio and Ontario. Bonus issued as free bets. One boost per eligible game. Opt-in required. 10-plus leg required for 100% boost. Deposit, parlay, and wagering restrictions apply. Eligibility and terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms.
Listen, the last time the economy looked like this, the stock market tanked 50%, the U.S. dollar lost 46% of its value, and the price of oil quadrupled. Yet while the U.S. economy collapsed and inflation ran through the roof, the price of gold shot up 1,300%, and silver rocketed over 2,400%. So, if history repeats itself, we could see it happen again. Can you afford to miss what could be the biggest gold and silver boom of our generation? That's why I want you to call GoldCo at 855-512-GOLD. Because when you do, you'll not only get the chance to protect your retirement savings with gold and silver, you could get up to $10,000 in free silver just for doing it. This is a rare opportunity. So don't miss what could be your best opportunity to protect your retirement savings. Call 855-512-GOLD. That's 855-512-GOLD.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing youth-activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
And we continue here with Our American Stories. Let's continue with Oliver Halley.
So, my father and his mother were estranged. I don't know why. To this day, that's a secret that'll go to the grave. I will never know the answer to that. It kills me not to know, but I'll never know. I do not know. My father would write her letters. She lived in Queens when we lived on Staten Island. My father would write her letters, and I still see this in my mind's eye. They would come back unopened, and there would be a stamp, this kind of stamp on the envelope, and it would be of a hand pointing this like this, and it would say, "Return to sender, refused," with a check mark, refused. And she died in February 1959, but I never met her. And don't, to this day, I don't know why they were strange. I have no idea. So that day changed my life forever. When you find out there's more to your past and it's very different than you were brought up to believe, that has a profound effect. So that's a life-changing experience. Life-shaping, without question, was my time in the Navy. And certainly in Vietnam. I went over to Vietnam, I was 23 years old, as an officer in charge of a swift boat. I came home, I was 24. And to have that kind of responsibility at that young age, if that won't shape you, nothing will. After Vietnam, I spent a year trying to get into law school, but working this odd job I had had when I was in high school just to mark time. I got into law school. I began in August of 1971 at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And I went through law school knowing that my career plan was to become an FBI agent. There was never any doubt that's what I wanted to do. I had formed that plan years earlier when I knew I wasn't going to be chief of naval operations, and I figured that out in high school, by the way, in high school. So my career in the FBI, you have two tracks. You know, the investigative side, and then you can choose to go into management. It's not like the military, you know, it's mandatory promotions that you're at. You know, people choose in the FBI if they want to go into management. And I had no interest in it. After having the experience that I had in the Navy, particularly in Vietnam, I figured nothing could rival that. Nothing. Nothing. Not even close. And then, and I love the FBI. My career, I had 28 years. It was a free ticket to a show. I loved it. But to be kind, the best leadership I saw was in the Navy. I started late in life with children. I'm married to Molly Johnson Halley. She's from Charleston, South Carolina. I met her in New York. She was an FBI agent as well, and she was chief division counsel for the FBI office in Atlanta for most of her career, but we met in New York. And I was just short of 41 when my oldest daughter, Caitlin, was born. Just short of 42 when my second daughter, Victoria, was born. They're Irish twins. They're 12 days short of a year apart. And then my son is in his fourth year of medical school at Emory. And this is only a coincidence. It was not planned this way. But my son, Tyler, is following in the footsteps of his grandfather, who was an ear, nose, throat surgeon. And that's a coincidence. He didn't do it for that reason. He didn't even really know about it until recently. So, I'd like to close with this. One of the things that my father did when we lived in Brooklyn, and I was a young boy, and I remember so vividly, on a lot of weekends, he would go into Manhattan, and he was a volunteer for Church World Service. And Church World Service, even to this day, I think, sponsors immigrants. And my father went down there, and you can picture this. These ships coming in from Europe with thousands of refugees. Coming to New York, you had organizations like Church World Service sponsor these people. People who had nowhere to go, no homes, lost families. That had a very profound effect on me. If you read the words, and I know you have, of Emma Lazarus on the Statue of Liberty, give me your poor, your wretched, your teeming masses, however, and my father and his family, before I was born, obviously, coming to New York, I can only imagine what they thought when they saw the Statue of Liberty. So he volunteered his time to help refugees, and one of them came to live with us for several years, Sergei Shelhakov. He was a Russian. He'd been a veterinarian in the Russian army and Russian cavalry. I don't remember whether he was captured or what happened, but either way, he ended up in a refugee camp in Europe after the war. He was on one of these ships. And what I remember is, he was coming off the ship and people were being processed. My father, I remember the story saying, you know, he's one of mine. He came with him and he lived with us for several years. And then for health reasons, he moved to Miami. But we stayed in touch, and I last saw him when I was in the Navy. Our ship was in Fort Lauderdale And I called him and I spent the night with him. Wonderful man. Wonderful man. He loved this country, what it gave him. He lost everything in the war. He lost his family, everything. I think of my father and all of that, and you say, how can you not give back? You know, how can you not do that? This country gave my father and his family a home when they were evicted from NAS. Was the Vietnam War one of those wars like World War II that, you know, you're fighting to defend your country? I can't say that it was, and I won't. But that's not the point. The point was that military service was something that came to be expected, and people of my generation, not everybody, obviously, we had a lot of people who didn't share my view, but a lot did. You know, we did our time. We came back from Vietnam. People say, well, you know, do people spit on you or anything? No, I never had that. Nobody cared. When I got back, nobody cared. You were a Vietnam veteran, so what? In law school, in my class, we probably had 10 or 15 Vietnam veterans. You know, we would talk casually. We were probably, you know, we weren't all close friends, but we got along very well. We could at least, if there's anything about the war that was still going on, we could talk about it. You didn't talk about it with other people. They didn't care. It was irrelevant. It was just, they couldn't relate to it. It was only when Ronald Reagan dedicated the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier to the Vietnam missing, and I watched it on TV live. Oh my God, that was powerful. And Ronald Reagan made it okay to be a Vietnam veteran. That was the first. It was okay, then I could wear a t-shirt, you know, Vietnam veteran. I never did before that, never. I didn't talk about it. I didn't talk about it because, you know, oh, I can't talk about it, I have bad memories, oh, I have PTSD. No, nothing to do with that. Nobody cared. That was it. So I went on with my life, and life was good. My FBI career was fantastic. It was a free ticket to a show. I traveled all over the world toward the end, you know, with the FBI. And I was very lucky in my life. I really was lucky. Probably I got a few lucky breaks along the way. Didn't have to, but I did. And I'm grateful for them, and I've got some plans in my head for what I'm going to do about paying it forward.
And we're looking forward to hearing more from Oliver. What a storyteller, what a life lived. And again, a special thanks to the folks at the Veterans History Project at the Atlanta History Center. And again, we're always looking for stories like this from you, our listeners. And my goodness, what a life well lived after serving in Vietnam, serving in the FBI for 28 years, a free ticket to the show. He said, late in life to children like me, 41 when he had his daughter Caitlin, 42, Victoria Tyler, who is in medical school carrying on a family tradition. But that story of him greeting refugees, I know that one because my immigrant grandparents made me do the same thing. I love what he said about Sergei. He was a wonderful man. He loved his country. He had lost everything in the war, everything. He also said, Oliver, the country gave my father and his father a home. So true. Oliver Halley's story here on Our American Stories.